This article was originally published on popzara.com. Read this and more on our website. Have you ever watched a movie you wanted to like so bad, but couldn't? It happens more than you'd think. Sometimes, a movie has all of the elements necessary to be good or likable: nice art and direction, cinematography, acting, story, etc., but ultimately it just falls flat. As I sat in the theater watching Lonely Castle in the mirror, all I kept thinking was, I wish I could like this. It's pretty. It caught me in the feels sometimes. Sadly, it just never quite found its footing. Based on Mizuki Tsujimura's novel, Lonely Castle in the Mirror is a story of seven junior high students: Kokoro, Micah Lin, Aki, Giselle Fernandez, Rian, Huxley Westermeyer, Subaru, Kieran Regan, Fuka, Zoe Glick, Masamune, Adrian Marrero, and Urashino, Riley Webb. Though, much of the story centers around the heroine, Kokoro, a girl who is unable to go to school due to trauma and anxiety caused by a group of students bullying her. One day, her mirror begins to glow and she steps through it, finding herself transported to a castle run by the Wolf Queen, Vivian Rutherford. There, she meets the other students, and they are informed that they've been brought here to get a chance at having one of their wishes come true if they can find a key hidden in the castle. There are a few rules: they have an entire year, until March 31st, to search for the key, and may enter and leave the castle as they please, but only between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Japan time. If they stay after 5 p.m, they will be eaten by a wolf. The group begins to spend time together in the castle, seeing it as a reprieve from their issues in the real world. They play games, they talk, sometimes, they form bonds and crushes, and eventually, they decide to team up to find the key, agreeing that no matter who finds it, they won't make their wish until March 31st, so they can have as much time as possible in this place. However, real-world struggles begin to bleed into the castle. Urashino, feeling bullied by the others, lashes out and tells them he's going to return to school, stating they can all think what they want, but they're all losers who can't go to a regular school, just like him. Aki comes through the mirror one day in distress, collapsed on the ground and visibly shaken, but unwilling to talk about what's happened. It's then that Kokoro realizes Aki is wearing a uniform from the same junior high school she attends, and the others all say that's the school they go to as well. They agree to try and meet up in the real world at Masamune's request. This turns out to be a disaster, however, as they all meet in the nurse's office but no one else comes. This leads to the students thinking they're each from a parallel universe, just slightly different from their own. Or are they? As the time in the castle draws to an end, the students still have no key. They've only found strange symbols around the castle, but are unsure of what they mean. Kokoro reunites with one of her classmates that she used to be friends with, and they talk for the first time since Kokoro left school. However, the meeting is cut short as Kokoro notices a drawing on her friend's wall that looks just like the interior of the castle. She borrows it and runs home to go to the castle, only to find her mirror shattered. A small piece at the bottom remains intact, and her friends call for her help as they're chased by a giant hungry wolf. Aki had broken the rules, and stayed past 5. Now armed with an understanding of the strange symbols in the castle, Kokoro manages to make her way to the wishing room, hoping to save her new friends. At least the film tries hard to convey an important message about the lives of teenagers and young adults and the traumas they deal with that come from not only the hands of their peers, but their teachers and families as well. In some aspects, these struggles are very fleshed out and realistic. Kokoro is bullied by a group of girls at her school for trying to steal someone's boyfriend, despite not interacting with the boy at all beyond a slight crush in elementary school. Because she's our main character, we get so much insight into her issues and how they're handled by her teacher. Which, by the way, the teacher doesn't handle it at all. Kokoro is very fortunate to have a mother that demands the issue go up to administration and that allows Kokoro plenty of room to make her own decisions based on her comfort. None of the other characters receive this kind of attention, which is unfortunate because Rian was set up for an impressive and in-depth story given the way it connected to the creation of the castle. We never got to see this unfold. It became a very basic, surface-level trauma plot. Similarly, Masamune and Fuka had similar stories that were never compared or explored. One is a child prodigy, gifted at playing the piano and burdened by the thought of failure, and Masamune is the son of a man who demands the best that Masamune can't provide. This is an upsetting oversight given the twist of the students each being from a different time. It could have been a great example of how these issues are timeless and often generational and need to be noticed in order to end a vicious cycle, but it fell so flat. The one story I personally found almost disrespectful in its presentation was Aki's. When it was introduced, it was as she came through the mirror in her uniform. She was disheveled and clearly terrified, but after a moment, it dropped and things went about somewhat normally. At this exact moment, I knew what the implication was, and I was proven correct as Kokoro saw some of Aki's memories later on. After her grandmother's funeral, Aki's father attempted to sexual assault her. This is shown by him coming in while she's undressing and grabbing her. She manages to make it to a mirror and get to the castle. However, the memory immediately following it is one of her seeing her boyfriend with another girl. This setup was somewhat appalling to me, especially when it's mixed with the memories of the other students that are not as heavy. Because that particular story is never developed, it didn't have the respect it deserved given its subject matter, and it felt rather out of place when compared with the stories of the other students. It really left a bad taste in my mouth as I left the theater, mostly because I think there is a better way to handle the topic, and this just was not it. Lonely Castle in the Sky was directed by Keiichi Hara, colorful, birthday wonderland, so it's no surprise it deals with the subject of adolescent struggles and the difficulties and shortcomings of the education system. These are two themes near and dear to Hara's heart, given his filmography, and he does okay with these stories. However, this film has the same issues as his others, in that they lack subtlety of any kind in their messaging and that leads to the aforementioned underdevelopment of plot and characters. However, having Hara at the helm almost always also means a film will look great, and Lonely Castle in the Mirror is no exception. It isn't exactly groundbreaking design or animation, but it serves its purpose by looking nice and clean. I really love the landscape shots of the castle because they showcased some of the more impressive backgrounds of the film, but they were few and far between. Luckily, the design of the interior of the castle made up for this. Now, you may have noticed before that the names of the voice actors mentioned above are not the Japanese voice actors. I saw the English version, and I'll be honest, the dub is bad. The voice acting is incredibly flat for most of the characters. Rion's voice was especially grating, as was Aki's. I definitely suggest watching it in Japanese and not subjecting yourself to anything less. Lonely Castle in the Mirror is a film I really wanted to like. Keiichi Hara is a director whose films are enjoyable and tend to concern themselves with deeper subject matter in a way that's still in line with the understanding of his target audience but also suitable for any moviegoer that's over the age of 13. However, between a grating English dub, a story half-baked at best and disrespectful at worst, and a message being literally spoken by a character with all the subtlety of a baseball bat the face, it's an incredibly tough watch unless you're willing to turn your brain off and use it as fuel for a too-close-to-home-at-times-cry session. Thanks for listening. Read this and other articles on popzara.com.